Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53, titled, Nay, But Rather Division. This is Pastor Greg, and I invite you to send messages with questions, comments, or prayer requests to our email address at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send letters and mail them using the old-fashioned U.S. postal system. Our address is Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also contact us on our website at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53, titled, Nay, But Rather Division. This is part one of two.
Brought to you by the King James Bible. One, two headline reviews in the news. Number one, evolutionists are a house divided. Now, I say this because when you talk to evolutionists, they pretend to kind of be like in total unity, and they agree on everything, and because the science is so obvious, and you people that don't believe in evolution are just stupid. Well, there's some disagreement about the evolution of beards. Yes. This is the way. Now, this actually was a few months ago, the original headlines I saw. Beards evolved. Now, right there, we're just going to stop and agree how stupid those two words put together are. Beards evolved. That's idiocy right there.
Everything evolved, right? Like,
according to them.
They got together and the cell said, wait a minute.
That's what this is basically saying, is to absorb a punch to the jaw. So men, according to them millions of years ago, kept thinking, man, I wish I had a beard. Man, I wish I had a beard. And somehow hair follicles showed up and produced beards.
Wow.
But it took millions of years of men wanting one.
And getting punched in the face.
Yes, and that all the while being punched in the face, reminding them how bad they need a beard.
Wow.
I'm just telling you, there are some things about this world and the life we're living, and to know that this is what's taught as science. And then the same people are saying, follow the science. No, thank you. Not the science. I'll follow science, but not the science. The study was published last year, Integrative Organismal Biology, from the Oxford Academy. This is a journal of the Society of Integrative and Comparative Biology. The title of the study is Impact Protection Potential of Mammalian Hair, Testing the Pugilism Hypothesis for the Evolution of Human Facial Hair. That's just a big way of saying men grew beards because they wanted to cushion punches. From the perspective of sexual selection, it is reasonable to suspect that these dimorphic facial features emerged as a result of male-male contest competition and act to protect the face against damaging strikes. So technically, it isn't that they thought, wow, I wish I had a beard, this is even better. It's that every time they got punched in the face without a beard, their skin basically said, we need a beard! That's what they're teaching. And the man's face said, where's our beard to cushion these blows? And that's really what they're saying. As is true for masculine skeletal features, men with full beards are reportedly perceived as being more masculine. Amen to that. I mean, yeah. Socially dominant and behaviorally aggressive. I was waiting for an amen to that. I'm accused of that from time to time. In comparison to you poor clean-shaven men. That's science right there. Well, actually, there's a lot of disagreement on this. You hear that the Romans were clean-shaven because of the fact that when they were hit, they would tear and all that. But there's also some evidence that it's according to what kind of combat you're involved in, where some did grow beards and some didn't, and then outside of the military, that's why they would grow beards. Keep it to the end, write it down. Indeed, Darwin, this is in 1871, cutting edge, suggested that manes of male lions, like the Canadian lynx, baboons, sea lions, bison, and elk, provide physical protection in male-to-male fights. In contrast, when considering humans, Darwin speculated that the beard evolved as an ornament, favored by the females. So according to which evolutionist you believe, the old-timer evolution who came up... Now, Darwin didn't come up with evolution, by the way. It's a pagan idea. It's been around for millennia. The pagans believe that, you know, we all came from a primordial soup, and they have millions of gods that directed all the changes in nature and all that. All Darwin did was take Grandpa Erasmus Darwin's pagan idea about evolution, and he wrote a book called The Origin of Species, which also the full title talks about favored races. He's the original white supremacist. And he talked about how that, you know, all this has a scientific basis to it. But up to the 1870s, or mid-19th century at least, it was just a pagan religious belief, evolution was. So, we have to say our original point. There is no consensus on the matter, whether you're a Roman or a modern American or European or wherever. I thought that looked a little bit like Charlie.
is that Olivia's hand?
Yeah, that's Olivia with the cross. So this is Live Science is a popular website and says, did men's beards evolve to absorb a punch to the jaw? And the small print there, thick facial hair could cushion the wearer's face. Now, there is a case for that if it's bare knuckle more than with the gloves. With the gloves, if you want to see what a beard will do, watch any of Roberto Duran's fights back in the 80s. His beard caused him to bleed a lot. I loved watching him fight, but that beard, I think, did him some harm sometimes. And, of course, whenever you watch, I know a lot of you are like, that's so barbaric, but you watch boxing, you'll see a lot of the bleeding comes from the eyebrows because of the way the hair is and everything. And of course, the documentary biography called Rocky, you can see how that caused his eyes, and then they had to cut his eyebrows and so you could see and all that. So some Darwinians are downright hostile to I have to say this, somebody's going to say, so he thinks Rocky was a real documentary. I was joking. some Darwinians are downright hostile to the idea. By the way, Rambo, that's a different story. But they have this in-house fight, and the guys that are against the idea that beards evolved in order to give a cushion are kind of ticked off about it. I mean, they get really upset about it. Here's a Forbes article. No, biologists didn't show that beards evolved to absorb punches. And then when you read the article, I don't think I put a bunch of, but the whole discussion is stupid because evolution is stupid. So don't waste a lot of your time trying to figure out who's right on this because they're both wrong. I'll tell you why you got a beard. Because God created Adam with a beard. You don't believe me? You'll find out when you get to heaven. And men had facial hair all the way through history. Jesus had something plucked off his face. Yeah. Now, if you want to shave, you know, I shave this part of my head. You know, there's nothing wrong with shaving. But this isn't about beards and shaving. This is about evolution, indoctrinating people with these crazy ideas that even if you're shaving, by the way, you still have a beard. You just erase it every day. Yeah. And that beard was given to you by God, not evolved because your mammalian ancestors millions of years ago thought, man, I wish I had a beard. And number two, Tyrant Biden's anti-constitutional vaccine mandate. Just have to mention this. Yeah. A couple of you are reeling from it because it directly affects you. But I want you to pay attention to something. Biden announces COVID-19 vaccine mandates that will affect 100 million Americans. That's the headline. But what you may not have picked up on is the fact that in his announcement, and in most of the pro-Biden defenders and pro-vax defenders, which, again, not anti-vax here, we just are anti-dishonesty, anti-lies. We're against big pharma making billions of money off of people like we're a bunch of cattle. Yeah, we're anti-tyranny. We're against the mandates. But I believe everybody in here has the choice. And it's your choice, not mine. It's your choice, not the government's.
Yep.
But in his announcement, Biden admits the COVID vaccine does not work. Did you pick up on that? In the announcement, he admitted it doesn't work. The bottom line, this is his statement, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers.
There you go.
And if you're awake this morning and thinking, what does that tell you? That tells you that the vaccinated workers aren't protected by the vaccine. They have to segregate. And that's what's going on here. Segregation. And you don't believe it has anything to do with race? Well, there's a problem there, because the majority of people not getting the vaccine are among the minority groups. I've told you, if I was a racist, I'd be an anti-white racist. I think the dumbest people on earth right now are the largest number of dumb people, if you want to go by race, are white people.
Yeah.
White liberals especially.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter your skin color one way or the other, but this vaccination mandate is basically another form of segregation taking place. And he admitted that the vaccine doesn't work. They are fudging the numbers and pretending that the majority of people dying are among the unvaccinated, when the reality is that if you get COVID within 2 weeks of the vaccine, they don't count you. So right there, you fudge the numbers. But it's worse than that. They actually are not counting people who have the vaccine or both shots or whatever. They're not even counting them in a lot of places at all, no matter how long ago they got the vaccine. Tyrant Biden is a Christ-rejecting reprobate with the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
Not an opinion. I can prove it. I just proved he's a tyrant. But that's how the Antichrist will operate when the mark of the beast comes around. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Mandates of anything related to your body is the spirit of Antichrist.
Amen.
And these lying hypocrite liberals for years have said, my body, my choice. And now they're saying, your body, my choice.
Yeah.
And that was a lie to begin with, because when you murder the baby in your womb, you didn't murder your body, you murdered the body of a baby.
Yeah.
It's murder.
Right.
So they lie, and then they're hypocrites on top of it. Goes on to say in verse 17, Revelation 13, and that no man might buy or sell. That's exactly, they're trying to set up this vaccine where you can't go, you can't be seen by doctors. They're not going to accept you in the hospital. And grocery stores and other stores are going to start requiring you bring your papers.
Nazi Germany.
Just like the 1930s of Germany. Bring your papers to prove you got the mark. The little dot right now is all it is. It's not the mark of the beast, but it's a precursor. I was telling Olivia last week, how great it is to hear the voice of the little babies here and everything. And it drowns out some of the snoring in the back. But Luke 12, verse 51. We're going to cover three verses. Luke 12:51-53, nay, but rather division. Not likely a message you're going to hear Joel Osteen preach this morning, nor about two-thirds of the churches in this country. And yes, I name names because those people are pathetic, and it's a terrible sin to support a false preacher, and all those people in those crowds should be ashamed of themselves. They ought to go to a real church where the Bible's preached by a real preacher. And if you say, if any preacher says, we're just about being positive, that's a false preacher. A true preacher is going to preach all the counsel of God, and there's negative and positive. And we're going to see some negative with positive results. The following statement by Jesus contradicts most of the preachers, churches, and denominations today, as I just said. So let's read. I'm going to have you read all three verses with me, beginning in verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Jesus says that division is his mission. And I just have to laugh because that is not what most preachers and ministries and churches will tell you the mission of Jesus was.
We call that a mission statement.
That's a mission statement. Suppose ye that I'm come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. He says plainly, Jesus said he came to bring division. Now, not for the sake of division. He just didn't say, go out and cause people to hate each other. Don't go out and sow discord. No, that God hates discord among brethren. But that's why it says among brethren. Because the fact is, the Bible teaches there's supposed to be division and discord between God's children and Satan's children. And we've got these false ideas that in order to be one of Satan's children, then you have to, you know, your head spins, you vomit pea soup, you grow horns or whatever. The Bible says simply this: if you are not God's child by faith in the gospel, then you are a child of the devil. And that's only two places you can land. Anyone listening to the sound of my voice right now, if you have not been saved, if you do not belong to God, you are a child of the devil.
Yes.
Hell was created for the devil and his angels, but because you are his child and reject the Son of God and his provision for your salvation, you will go to hell.
Amen.
And you will be with your father, the devil. And used to be something you'd hear preached a lot. You aren't going to hear it very often these days. So look closely. Unity is not his gift to the world.
Amen.
Division is. We have to point this out every Christmas. You know, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. But he's not saying you can have peace on earth without Jesus Christ. He's talking about having peace on earth because the baby Jesus has come. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of
Peace.
The United Nations is an abomination to God.
Amen.
Because they want peace without the Prince of Peace. They want peace by things like mandates. Peace by control and power. And they want it all without Jesus. So he now describes this stark reality in verse 52. From henceforth, I'm going to say it right, for from henceforth, There shall be five in one house divided. Now, he's not saying that every house should have five. He's just giving you an example. Three against two and two against three. In my house, there were seven. And it's now three against four. What about your house?
Nine and two.
Yeah. You don't have to yell it out, but in your mind you can think about it if you don't want to share with us. How many in your house? That's the reality. This has been true for going on 2,000 years. Now, I'm glad, you know, in my mom and dad's house, there was a time where it was pretty divided, and I think it was at least at one point three against two. And then, but sometime by the early 90s, I'm pretty sure everybody was, mom and dad were already saved, and the kids got right, so it's 5-0. Satan loses. And that's what we'd love to see in every household, but that's very untypical. As a matter of fact, the typical home in America is zero against whatever, and Satan's winning.
Yeah.
Most homes in America don't have any born-again Christians in it. But then so many of them are split just with the husband and wife, one-to-one. And then the kids come along, and it's getting ugly.
Yeah. Okay.
It's getting ugly. And it's getting worse, and will continue to do so until Jesus returns. That's not going to sell books in the positive thinking section of the bookstore, but it is a fact. We're told that there's coming a strong delusion, a great falling away first. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith? It was a question, you know, how many? He will. There are going to be some sheep go into the millennial kingdom there at the end of the tribulation, but most of them been killed off. So look at verse 53 again. It says, the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father. That was true of me and my dad at one point. Bad, bad few years back in the late 80s. And, you know, when I got saved, one of the first things I wanted to do was go tell my mom and dad. And I believe that'll be true about my kids when they get right with God. That's how I'll know they're right. Yeah. But until you're saved, even if you're getting along with them, you're divided. If your parent is saved and you're not, they have the Holy Ghost in them, you don't. Rapture takes place, they're gone, you're left behind. Great white throne judgment comes. They're already saved and glorified, and you're being cast into the lake of fire. Now, a lot of times, the reason why, that's what I'm telling you, is people have the wrong idea about being a good parent. If you're a good parent and your child is in rebellion against God, you shouldn't be getting along with them. I'm not saying you can't have a conversation with them. I'm not saying you can't spend time with them and not argue. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that your prayers alone should be driving them to anger, to rage.
Amen.
Then your witness, your unwillingness to go along with anything that they want you to go along with that goes against God's word, that right there will cause the problems right there. You take the proper stand as a parent, and your unsaved child will be the one normally that puts distance and cushion between you. You don't have to do anything but take a stand for the Lord. And that's what you're told to do. You're not told to chase them off. You're told to take a stand. So some of you, I can ask you, have you experienced this? If you haven't had kids, what about you and your parents? Or what about, you can see it in other people. You see kids who don't get along with their parents because the parents aren't saved. Or the parents are saved and they're not living right, or they're not saved. Yeah, among siblings, best friends. How many of you lost a friend because you used to live for the Lord?
Yep.
Some of you might have lost a job. So put Jesus first and you will.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Jesus is first in your life, like I said, you don't have to go around starting trouble. There'll be trouble. And you don't even have to say anything a lot of times. You just being right with God and putting Jesus first would be enough for them to just want nothing to do with you. They hate you. A little scripture with scripture, as we're wont to do. Look at just over a couple pages in my Bible. Your Bible might be even less because mine's giant print. Luke 14:25. Look over there. How many, if you can see this, how many of you remember this was in the 80s? Jesus' first pens. They're still available, by the way. But I think it was Jerry Falwell, the old time gospel hour, sent them out to anybody who asked for them. And everybody I knew in our church, I shouldn't say everybody, but everywhere I looked, I saw the little, most of them wore suits. And they'd have them on their little lapel or whatever. But Jesus' first pen.